Hey guys, welcome to my daily update video. Trish, you're having a really great day. Today is Wednesday. By the time you watch this, I'll be flying back from Orlando to Beantown, to Boston. Looking forward to being back in New England with my family and hopefully seeing some of you guys this weekend in our churches in New England. In a moment, I want to continue my little mini series on the righteousness of Jesus. Love righteousness. It's such a glorious topic. Before we do that, a few quick housekeeping things. Please consider subscribing to our YouTube channel if you're watching this there, or our audio podcast, our social media channels. If you're not receiving our email newsletter, you get a free gift when you sign up for that below. I have a trip to Ireland, I believe. At the time of recording, there's one place left open for the team going to Ireland in May. And lastly, let me mention my online ministry school as well. Great place for ministry training. I have lots of different courses there available. And also a monthly ministry mentoring group where I have, each month I put 20 videos out specifically for growth in ministry. And then we have a live Zoom call on a Saturday, first Saturday of every month. So you're very welcome to join us there. There is a cost for that. There's an offer, $5 for the first month when you join that. But if the finance is an issue to anybody, write to me and I will help you with that. We don't want finance ever to be a reason somebody can't receive blessing. So let me continue talking about righteousness. Just a quick recap. I've been saying every day that I think there's something the body of Christ is missing about righteousness, something glorious about the righteousness of Jesus Christ, that it would behoove us to grasp. And I have to confess, for years I don't think I really saw this, or I saw righteousness as being, you know, there's like holiness and righteousness and joy and peace and giving and, you know, prophecy and lots of different subjects. And righteousness is a really core subject in the Christian life. And it is vital that we solve the sin problem. And I think that by and large, the world has tried to solve the sin problem by just eradicating it. The world has tried to solve its problem with sin. Really, sin is the greatest problem on planet Earth, if you think about it. And I believe the world has tried to solve a sin problem by pretending we don't have a sin problem. Excuse me, let me just move some of that. And the danger, especially I find that here in the West and in America especially, is after a while the church tries to reach the world by looking like the world. And I've noticed in churches we don't talk about sin. I do, but we don't seem to talk about sin in the way we used to. We talk more about issues. I know people at times, and I love them, but when I get around them, I'm like, are they reading the Bible or a Hallmark greeting card? And it's like everybody's a little bunny and God loves your soul and God knows your heart. He's not really mad at you. And all the hogwash is hogwash, R.W. Shambach used to say. There is sin. We have a sin problem. If you have issues, then self-help can help you improve your issues. If you're a sinner, lost, separated from God, then you need a Savior, Christ Jesus the Lord. And I think it's so vital that we proclaim both that there is a sin problem and proclaim the gospel, the good news. The gospel is the power of God to utterly change and transform our lives. And I believe there are a myriad of benefits and ways in which our lives would be changed if we could grasp a hold of a revelation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. You know, I think the Bible says the righteous are as bold as a lion. I think it's not the only one, but one of the major reasons prayers are not answered is because of sin in our hearts. And it's not that God is looking at us going, no, you've got sin in your heart, I won't answer your prayer. It's actually more what John says in 1 John 3:19 and 20. He says, if our hearts condemn us, how can we have confidence towards God? Yeah, I'm absolutely convinced of this. One of the major reasons it's hard to get Christians to be healed actually has little to do with, do they have faith? It's rather about condemnation in their heart. It's interesting, it's quite easy to get a sinner who's unsaved, you know, not walking with God. I find that quite easy to get them healed because they know they don't expect anything from God. They actually step into grace very easily because that's all they have. The danger is we begin walking with God, we begin learning God's ways, and then we begin realizing as we learn his ways, we're not always walking in his ways, and we end up walking in condemnation. And I believe if we would grab a hold of this revelation of righteousness, it will utterly transform our life. Boom. Well, what I want to do real quick, you folks, today, I want to talk about our thinking. Paul says in Romans, and I've spent a lot of time in the series in the book of Romans, you know, I'd really encourage you, Andrew Womack has a great book. I think he wrote a couple of years ago, a study guide to the book of Romans. Actually, a verse-by-verse study guide, study to Romans. And really would encourage you to read through that. Andrew's got some great revelation on this subject. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, therefore, by the mercies of God, let us offer ourselves living sacrifices to God, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service, that we may prove what is the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. And then it says, let us not be conformed to the world, but rather transformed by the renewing of our mind. Paul says we'll be transformed when our minds get renewed, bottom line. Yeah? What has happened to us? In Adam, spiritually, we died. And outside of Christ, all the way through the Old Testament, if you will, you're seeing people who have a physical body, they have a soul, but spiritually, they're completely dead. Now, when we come to Christ, we're made alive, we're made anew. Spiritually, we're alive. Our spirit is righteous, even as he is righteous. Your spirit is joined one with the Lord. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined with the Lord is one spirit. You are utterly perfect. You are just as righteous as Jesus is righteous. Your spirit is in Christ Jesus. It's seated in heavenly places. God has no sin in his presence. So you don't have a spiritual problem. Now, our problems really reside primarily in our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. And the way we pull, if you will, from the spirit to the soul is primarily, come on, mind, will, emotions. We do that by choosing to think the thoughts of God. We do that by choosing to take God's word and renewing our mind and learning to think how God thinks, learning to take the thoughts of God. In Isaiah 55, the Lord said, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. My ways aren't your ways. I'm glad he didn't say amen and then change a chapter. But he said in the next verse, so is my word that comes down from heaven. It's like the rain that waters the earth, goes into the sea, goes back up. And he said, it will not return to me void. In effect, God is saying, these are my thoughts, these are my ways. And I want you to think with me for a few moments today. We won't be long, but the way temptation comes to us primarily, we may feel something in our body, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, we may see something. But real quickly, that temptation, I would say it hits our minds. Yet Satan attacks us. Most spiritual warfare exists, it is enacted in our mind. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3 to 5 says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but the mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And the next verse says, casting down every imagination, every vain thought, which exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And our journey, our battle, as we walk out the Christian life, is to cast down the thoughts that contradict God's word and learn to think God's thoughts. So how do we do that? I want to give you three quick keys today that will really help you doing this. Number one, we've got to learn God's thoughts. We've got to spend time in God's word. We've really got to spend time hearing God's word. And, you know, I was thinking about this today. There was a season in my life in the, you know, probably the late 1980s, another season in the 90s, where I would be listening to good, faith-filled Christian teaching for 15, 18 hours a day. I mean, I would wake up and it was on. I'd be in the shower with teaching on, you know, with my cassette tape in those days, these kind of things, surrounding myself. And I know for me, it anchored my soul in these things. And yet I know at times there have been seasons where I drift, I get busy, not necessarily to sin, sometimes in doing ministry things, I get pulled into one thing or another. And I have learned in the last few years that what I did as a young man about surrounding myself with the Word of God is how I want to live for the rest of my life. You say, Graham, that's too extreme. You know, that's how people like Smith Wigglesworth lived, constantly in the Word. And I find that although I love God, although I serve God, although I'm sincere in the way I live out my life, if I am not around God's Word for a while, my thoughts can drift. Again, it's not necessarily into sin. It's often into just worthless things, or, you know, other pursuits or hobbies or all sorts of things. And to renew our mind, we've got to have our eyes, our ears, our gates, if you will, our inputs flooded with the things of God. My son, attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, keep them before your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, the life to those who find them, and health to all the flesh. Come on, key number two is to think the thoughts of God. We've got to chew them over. Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who meditates in your word day and night. That word meditate, literally, I think one of my Bibles says, to talk to yourself, mumble and keep repeating. So literally when we meditate, it's like we take one of the things of God and we say it to ourselves. Some people have taken that thing of saying as if there's something magical by simply saying this, as if you can just say any random thing and it will happen. When God talks about speaking his word, he's talking about also engaging your mind and your heart with that which you say. So if I say 10 times, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart, the love of God is shed abroad in my heart, the love of God is, it's not going to change me. What changes me is when I say the love of God is being shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Spirit. And I think about it and I engage and I think, yeah, that's actually true. As I'm sitting here in a hotel in Florida right now, the love of God is being shed. Where all the things I do today, God's love is being shed abroad in my heart. And as I begin to, as I, with my will, choose to think about it, my emotions will play catch up. Come on, let me finish with this today. It's really my last key in this, but it's so vital. Our mind, our will, and our emotions. What God wants us to do is have our will, our volition, number one, our thinking, a renewed mind, number two, and then let our emotions play catch up, let them play third place in our soul. And in effect, your will, you've actually got very little willpower. Your willpower is like the thermometer on the wall that you set. That's very little power to change the thing in the room. But as you flood your thinking with the thoughts of God, your emotions will swell up. You'll begin to feel the things of God. And what Satan learns to do is reverse that process. He will suggest something to us. Without us really engaging our will, we'll start thinking upon something. Our emotions get behind that thing, gotta do this, gotta do this, and our will, phew, kind of disappears. And we can step into that new creation in Christ Jesus. We can put on that new man by learning to think the thoughts of God. Hope that's a help to you guys. Have a great Wednesday wherever you're at, and drop me a line, love to hear from you. Again, hit that YouTube subscribe button or subscribe to some of our social media channels, email newsletter, and check out our ministry mentoring group at ministryschool.net. Boom. Have a great day.